You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, you know, Keith really plumbed the depths of the
library,
oldies archives there. We were trying to find songs that we thought would illustrate the official narrative on Charlottesville, and we had
with the lies that
lies from the Knickerbockers in the first in the second hour with Jason Kessler, and that's Liar Liar by the Castaways as we welcome
Liar Liar Pants on Fire.
Michael Hill, chief of the League of the South, and I was just talking to Michael during the break, and I said of all of the people who were key participants in Unite the Right, the two that I most wanted to have tonight, and that's not at the expense of anybody else. We had to cut some time down tonight to talk about the Trump raid, and there were other people I wanted to have on tonight. But Jason Kessler and Michael Hill, I think as much as anybody, truly exemplify how you stand your ground. And, of course, Michael Hill is the president of the League of the South. He is a former university professor. He's written two books on Celtic warfare, which you're well familiar with. Michael has long, long since been a regular on this program. But Michael was actually not just a participant at the Unite the Right events on August the 12th, 2017 in Charlottesville, Virginia. He was also scheduled to be one of the key speakers before we learned that day once and for all that white people no longer have the freedom of assembly and speech in America. And so, Michael, 5 years later, what are your recollections and your retrospectives?
And what did
you
learn?
That was a very exciting day. It was an exciting day, James. And I appreciate you having me on your show. I was telling someone earlier that this time of the year, I get pretty popular on radio shows. I was on on one last night, Confederate secessionist sanctuary, Mr. Confederate Man show, and was on Eddie's show this afternoon. And crowning it off tonight, being on your show, talking about one of the most exciting days I ever spent. It was amazing. And people have asked me, knowing what you know now about what happened, would you go back? And I said, no, not yes, but hell yeah. I'd go back. That had to be done, John.
Would you do anything different? Would you do anything different, Michael?
Well, I might get our people a little bit more prepared for what we pretty much knew was coming anyway. But maybe a few things. But no, not a lot. We had a good plan to get in and get out. Of course, the local authorities there kind of messed up the get out plan by declaring it an illegal assembly and driving us all out into the midst of Antifa, where it was kind of every man. Well, it wasn't every man for himself, because we kept good discipline, good team discipline, I guess you might say. And we got everybody out of there safely, but it was a very exciting day.
Michael, I would build on what Keith just asked you. Would you do anything differently? And it's a good question, especially as we now look back 5 years after the fact. And we were talking with Kessler in the last hour about how many people have come to our way of thinking. Millions and millions of Trump voters are now seeing things our way. And Charlottesville was in many ways a catalyst.
It was a watershed moment.
And now you have the FBI raiding Trump. I mean, things are radicalizing to the point now where there's a direct path to secession. You got Texas now looking at seceding and the state GOP sanctioning it. Michael, did you think you would live to see that day?
And I believe it really began in Charlottesville.
Oh, well, I did think I would live to see that day. I didn't know exactly when it would come, but I did think I would live to see it. And I hope, indeed, if it's close, that the good Lord will give me a few more years to be around and see it. But Keith, I think you're right too. I think in retrospect, we're now far enough removed from Charlottesville to begin to see exactly what the impact of that day was. And that was the day that a lot of Americans, including a lot of Southerners, began to see the United States government and its subsidiaries in these blue cities and states as being something that was unreliable, did not represent them, and in fact would tyrannize them. And I think our stand in the streets of Charlottesville forced the mask off the monster, and I think we're beginning to see the good fruits of that now, 5 years later.
Michael, draw a direct path, connect the dots between Charlottesville 2017 and the raid on Mar-a-Lago this week.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've begun to see over the past 5 years, and it began shortly after Charlottesville with the lawsuits and with the arrest of some of our people who are still behind the wire, as they say. I think the feds stepped their game up because they realized what they were facing with an angry populace who was now beginning to take to the streets, who was not going to back down from their leftist goons, Black Lives Matter and Antifa. So I think steadily over the past 5 years, you've seen the increasing degree of tyranny. And this last Monday, the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago in Florida was intended, I think, to be an intimidation factor, showing them or showing us, the populace, that if Donald Trump's residence was not safe, none of ours were either. So I think we forced this monster out into the open, and it is now going after anybody, and in this case, Donald Trump, not because Trump is Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is the personification, if you will, of the aspirations of the white middle and working class. That's who they're going after, and Donald Trump just in the way of that. He is the representative of that. Not that he really supports us, you understand what I'm saying, but the left thinks he does. They're going after him to get to us.
And that's enough.
He's a lightning rod. And basically what you did at Charlottesville was you unmasked for a lot of Americans. It was the beginning of a process. It's gone through these BLM riots, George Floyd, Antifa, whatnot. Basically, people now see the deep state that had been portrayed forever and a day as the good guys, as an engine of oppression and of ordinary Americans and America's history and heritage.
Yeah, we took a stand that day symbolically and literally, too, for General Robert E. Lee and by extension, all of those Confederate soldiers who 160 years ago, you know, were fighting for our freedom. So, you know, we were there trying to do our duty in the present day, and I think people enjoyed seeing people do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to come back with that exact thought in mind after this break, but folks, if you want to do something that'll make you feel good about yourself, why don't you do like I've done and support the League of the South? LeagueOfTheSouth.com. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. It's President Michael Hill, our guest.
Hello,
right now.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the five-year anniversary of Charlottesville, August the 12th, 2017. You know what happened in Charlottesville, but you don't know the truth unless you've been listening to this radio program. And we've got two principal figures in that. The man who took out the permit, the man who organized it, Jason Kessler in the last hour, and now Michael Hill, the president of the League of the South. I am a proud member of the League of the South. I have had the honor of speaking to League of the South conferences. Thank you for the honor, Dr. Hill.
You're welcome.
LeagueOfTheSouth.com, folks, and we want you to be a part of this. But I'll tell you, I listened to the whole trial last fall. Every minute of every day, there was a listen line for members of the media, but it wasn't just for members of the media. Other people who could get the number could dial in as well. And for nearly a month, I listened to every minute of every hour of every day of that trial, the civil suit. And Michael, you were one of the key defendants in that case. And as I listened to you, I couldn't be more proud of the nearly two decades during which we have been allies, and during which I could call you a friend, and during which you've been a guest on this program. I mean, you go back to the very beginning of this program back in 2004, and as I listened to you give testimony and stand on your convictions, you truly embodied, and I say this with the utmost reverence, you truly embodied the spirit of Lee and Forrest and Jackson. You made Southern men proud on the stand in that farce of a trial, and I'm so honored to have you on tonight.
You gave stirring testimony.
I appreciate that. My daddy just taught me a long time ago. He said, son, just speak plainly and tell the truth, you know, and that's what I tried to do. And I didn't. He always said, you know, if you say something, own it. And don't try to get out of it. If you believe it, you say it, you own it. And that's what I tried to do. I wasn't going to try to dance around and say, well, I didn't really mean that, or, you know, you took it out of context. They said, Dr. Hill, did you say this or write this? Yes, I did. I certainly did. I stand by it today. And, you know, that's just what you have to do. You just have to stand by the truth as you see it. And I think that God gave me the grace and the strength and the right words to say that day to do that. So I give him the honor and glory for being with me in that courtroom. And I was not nervous at all. In fact, I welcomed that fight face-to-face with that Jew lawyer in that courtroom. I felt like I was just exactly where I needed to be.
Well, let me tell you, Michael, this is Keith. It reminds me of Davy Crockett's life motto. Remember that? He said, I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right. Then go ahead. In other words, don't worry about the political fallout or how it's going to play in Dubuque or anything. Just tell the truth, and things are going to work out according to God's will.
Michael, I would ask you this. Well, by all means, go ahead. But I would say this. Keith was talking to you earlier about what you would do differently, and you talked about what you would better prepare your people. You knew some of this was coming, and certainly you knew that there was a very real possibility for violence when you have members of dueling terrorist groups, Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter terrorists, who have notched in their belts the lives of numerous police officers, for God's sake, and, of course, the Antifa terrorists. So you knew with Black Lives Matter and Antifa on hand, there was a very real possibility for violence. But you believed you would speak that day. I think you believed going into that day that you would be allowed to reach the park. You would be allowed to give the speech that you were promoted to be giving. I don't think you could have foreseen that day the treachery and the true conspiracy that the state government and the city of Charlottesville government had laid waiting for you.
No, it was a trap. I was telling somebody earlier, I think it was last night on the radio show I did then. I had my speech in my pocket. You know, I was ready to give a speech when we pushed our way through that smelly mess of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And got into Lee Park after I assigned the shield wall under the command of Mike Tubbs to guard the entrance. I went off looking for Jason Kessler to see when I was supposed to speak and you know, to find out the general schedule of things. And it just, I wasn't able to find him because everything was just so chaotic. And it just deteriorated to the point, you know, that it was obvious they were not going to let us have the rally. But I don't know if there's anything we could have done to have stopped that. But I would have gone back knowing that they were going to do what they did, because I think somebody had to face down the communist in the street in the southern city. Somebody had to do it. That's Mr. Jefferson's town. And Jefferson obviously is very important in southern ideas, and obviously the Lee statue. We had to go and do that, James. We had to do it.
Well, Michael, this is Keith again. What it demonstrated to me was that this was a whole different ball game from Gandhian protest in India in the 40s or the Black civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s in America, because basically in the Black civil rights movement in particular, you had the government and the media complicit with the protesters. They were your avowed enemies. The difference between the Gandhian protests was that the British had principles and a sense of civic responsibility. They weren't going to overplay their hand. They weren't going to try to harm the protesters. You had none of that here. You saw exactly what happens when the oppressors are lined up with the forces of the establishment, and you're a protester.
That's a great point.
Here. And
it is,
you know,
and this is what happens when
you're the ones that face the fire.
That's right. This is what happens when you let your country be overtaken by international Jews. That's what happened.
Amen.
Hey, Michael, I got to ask you this. So I was looking back on the night of August the 12th, 2017. That was 5 years ago yesterday. And so we had Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We had Eddie in intermittent segments, or rather, I should say, alternating segments, giving his eyewitness testimony as he pulled in random, I don't mean random in a negative way, but just people who were there, just the average participant. He was bringing them in. And then in alternating segments, we had some of the names that people may know. And on the program that night, in addition to Eddie and the people that he brought in from the crowd, we had Henrik Palmgren of Red Eyes, we had David Duke, we had Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent, and we had Simon Roche of South Africa, and we had you, Michael Hill,
well,
5 years ago yesterday. You, Henrik, David, Brad, and Simon. What would you say to the people who stood shoulder to shoulder with you that day and never cucked?
You'll have my eternal respect.
And we just named five of them. We named five of them that were on the show that night.
Yeah, absolutely. All those men will have my eternal respect for standing up not only on that day, but subsequently under all the fire that has been brought against all of us who were the not just the leaders that day, but the participants. A lot of people have suffered mightily since Charlottesville because of what Keith said a minute ago. You know, you have the government aligned with the leftist demonstrators, And, you know, we were pretty much out there on our own. We had no support except what we brought with us. And any man who will stand up to the forces that are arrayed against us, not just on that day, but in the subsequent 5 years, has my respect and will be always honored in my mind.
Well, we named the people who were on the show that night, you, Henrik Palmgren, David Duke, Brad Griffin, Simon Roche, Eddie, and his the people that he was able to gather. The people now, 5 years later, that are on the show this night, you once again, you are the constant, along with Eddie, Jason Kessler in the last hour, and also Rich Hamblin. To Jason, to Rich, and to Eddie, what would you say to them, the participants on this, our five-year retrospective show?
Congratulations, fellas. We're 5 years out. We're stronger than we've ever been because people are now accepting the ideas that were so radical to many then, and we've stayed the course.
That's it.
And we've stayed the course, and we haven't deviated from it. And as I said, you have my honor and respect forever for that.
These ideas are now mainstream because of the efforts of you and your compatriots at Charlottesville. I think Charlottesville was like the Lexington and Concord of our movement, and we're eternally grateful to you.
Michael, we salute you. You embody the spirit of your Southern forebears, and you have made them proud, and you make me proud to be associated with you. I love you, brother. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. If you want to belong to an organization that I belong to, LeagueOfTheSouth.com. Michael Hill, thank you so much.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A Russian rocket attack on the city that is home to Ukrainian forces in the east killed three people and wounded 13 others on Friday. The Russian Defense Ministry claims to have control of a village on the outskirts of the city of Donetsk. The Kremlin is seeking to seize Ukrainian-held areas north and west of that city to expand the separatist self-proclaimed republic. The man accused of attacking renowned author Salman Rushdie has pleaded not guilty. 24-year-old Hadi Mattar has been charged with attempted murder and assault in a New York State court. Rushdie remains hospitalized on a ventilator. He'll likely lose an eye. The 75-year-old has been the subject of death threats for more than three decades. Johnson & Johnson says it will stop selling talcum-based baby powder worldwide starting next year, switching to its existing cornstarch version. The move comes after thousands of lawsuits in recent years over cancer concerns. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
The family of a soldier killed at a military base near Killing, Texas, is suing the government. Vanessa Guillen was killed by a fellow soldier in 2020 at Fort Hood. A military investigation found that she was also sexually harassed and that leaders failed to take appropriate action. The lawsuit narrative says she told family that she didn't report the incidents for fear of retaliation. Her family seeking $35 million in damages. 14 people were hurt Friday evening after a car crashed into an Arlington, Virginia restaurant, which also caused the fire. A gaping hole was seen in the front of Ireland's Four Courts pub with smoke pouring out. The building is structurally sound, but it'll be a while before anybody could occupy it. The family of country singer Naomi Judd asked a court to seal police records and recordings related to the investigation into her death. The petition in Williamson County Chancery Court in Tennessee said releasing the records would inflict significant trauma and irreparable harm. Judd died at her home of suicide in April. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right. You know, very difficult. We had to pare an hour down tonight in light of the FBI raid on Trump's house. And instead of 3 hours, 2 hours. But there was a quartet of men that I handpicked to be on tonight, and thankfully they accepted the invitations. Jason Kessler, who you heard from in the last hour, Dr. Michael Hill, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who was our man on the ground there for that historic live broadcast 5 years ago yesterday here on TPC, maybe minute for minute and pound for pound, the best show we've ever done, but also Rich Hamblin, who was very much a participant in all of that, and also one of the men. I saw it on Netflix. I saw it on Netflix. Rich Hamblin, a star in this Netflix documentary on how bad the people who were there to exhibit their freedoms of speech and assembly were. Rich Hamblin beaten, but back on his feet. And
bloody but unbowed.
By God, back on his feet, and he's with us tonight. So, Rich, you heard from Jason and Michael earlier. What would you add to that, and what would you add to your own experiences that day 5 years later?
Well, it was quite a day. Didn't really know what to expect to go up when we went up there, but we were kind of prepared for it. I mean, I was wearing a Kevlar helmet and a face shield because we'd seen what all had happened at Berkeley and such, but
you know what you can expect from the peace and tolerance crowd.
Yeah, that's the peace and justice crowd.
Right.
Yeah, they. It was something else. I mean, it was as they teach you in the military, the best laid plans go up in smoke as soon as you make contact with the enemy, and that's pretty much what happened at Charlottesville. We formed up and made our march up to the approach to the park, and then all hell broke loose. I mean, stuff was showering down. Matt Goodwin, who was with me, got hit right off in the head. Would have been hit in the head if he hadn't been wearing a helmet, but he got splattered with some unidentified pink liquid. And of course, there was just stuff flying through the air and noise and confusion. The police had a helicopter flying overhead at all times. So we bulled our way into the park there, and then, kind of tried to take up some positions there. I was up towards the statue. We couldn't even get next to the statue the way the police had it cordoned off. I mean, we were supposed to have the run of the whole park as enforced by a federal judge the day before. I think Sam Dixon was involved with that and the ACLU of Virginia, which promptly disavowed us after Saturday. But, we couldn't even approach the statue. I think Matt Parrott somehow managed to get up there behind the cops, and they finally noticed him and arrested him and hauled him off to the jail, so he missed all the fun going down the street. But it was an interesting crowd, mostly white, mostly, people say there was, some BLM there. There were a few. There wasn't a whole bunch. I guess maybe more than about Doc, I wouldn't guess there was more than about 25 or 30 black people altogether out of that whole crowd of 800 to 1,000 or however many it was. But it was most of these, these white liberals, and it was a lot of these circuit riders, I guess I call them circuit riders, Antifa, because they had been seen and photographed at previous demonstrations around the country, and they showed up here. In fact, one of the guys that attacked Harold Cruz after he got hit by DeAndre Harris was identified in some photographs of other demonstrations, but I don't think anybody ever put a name on him. We called him Jack Corbin, who was the sleuth tracking down all these guys.
What I would call them is what our ancestors called them: outside agitators.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I said. They were the circuit riders, and they made the rounds, and of course that means there was some money behind them. There were a lot of rumors flying up there that people were busting and all that kind of stuff. I didn't really see any real evidence of that, but, anything's quite possible. But it was, I was there from, the beginning of it to almost the end. When we got to the parking garage, I decided, and this was after I got beat down, we just decided to, to kind of sit still. Everything cleared down so when the rest of the people got back so we could retrieve our vehicles from the garage and get out of there. And of course, all this big fight where five or six of our guys ended up in jail, it was all observed by the cops. The cops didn't do anything to intervene. In fact, one of them said, when he was asked point blank by one of the people filming there, he said, why don't you do something? And why don't you arrest somebody? And the cop said, I think it's a sheriff's deputy. He said, well, I don't arrest anybody. You know, it's I listened to a podcast today from Patrick Martin, Dixie on the Rocks, which I recommend to everybody. It's a 5-year retrospective on Charlottesville. And he talked about the group that he was, and I know Patrick, and the group that he was leading back from the park was passed by they veered around a large part of the leftist crowd, and they came up to a police officer, and they had some elderly people with them, and some, you know, they probably couldn't have made it back to the parking lot, and asked the cop if they could stay there on the side of the street, and you know, in the grass. And the cop told him in no uncertain terms, and probably pretty ugly language too, move on or you'll be arrested. So that was the attitude. I mean, it was a setup by the cops. It was a setup by the city government. It was a setup by the state. I'm sure the FBI was involved. And it was, you know, a continuation of things that had started basically during the Trump campaign in 2016, when Trump supporters were attacked going to and from rallies, and no consequences for the attackers. And it kept on escalating up into the spring. And of course, there was the free speech rally out in Berkeley, which turned into a melee. And there were every other place these things happened, the cops were standing down or not doing a whole lot to intervene, until finally at Charlottesville, they just pushed us into the crowd of the counter protesters, the Antifa rioters, and mayhem proceeded. And of course, it went on further to last summer's BLM burning down the city, the cops standing down, the nonsense out in Seattle, and then, you know, the stuff in Milwaukee and culminating with the 2006, the January 6th rally at the Capitol, at the nation's capital, where, you know, I'm almost certain there were FBI agitators, whipping up the crowd and all this kind of stuff. And there, you know, I think the normies, the Trump, you know, the Trump conservative normies started to realize what happened to us at Charlottesville. You know, before they were looking down their noses at us and calling us racist and Confederate flag waving troglodytes and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, the very same thing happened to them. And there are a lot of them rotting in jail, just like our guys are still rotting in jail at Charlottesville. So I think
a watershed moment for the people, that what happened to you all was now happening to them.
Wait a minute. You all? What are you talking about?
I'm talking
you
to
you. Mean y'all.
Y'all, that's right. Yeah, y'all. Well, anyway, what happened to the January 6th people is exactly what happened to the Charlottesville people. And I think that was a moment of when the scales fell from the eyes of a lot of people, and that's one of the reasons.
The scales may have fallen from a lot of people, but I mean, there's just not a lot of people out there that still believe all we got to do is elect the right people. And I mean, granted, people in Congress are starting to speak out, like Lauren Boebert and some various others. I mean, Gosar and you know, there's people calling for especially in the wake of the Trump event of Monday, that are calling for the dissolution of the FBI. Well, of course, the FBI has been a corrupt institution since its very beginning. It's always been a political attack force for the oppositions of the regime in power. So
ever since they captured Machine Gun Kelly in Memphis.
Yeah, gradually, I think people are waking up. But the big question is, are enough people going to wake up fast enough in order to prevent what's coming? Because what's coming is a Bolshevik style revolution, and it's following the same kind of pattern, and it's pushed by the same kind of people as what happened in Russia starting in 1917.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it better happen within the next 2 years, because otherwise, if Trump gets back in there, those 80,000 conscripted IRS agents, I don't know if they have a job. Certainly, heads are going to roll. Whether he's on our side or not, or to what extent, I don't know. But I know he hates the people who have been screwing with him, and he will be vindictive about that. He will be punished.
The deep state is going to be pumped out.
Well, I don't want this thing to be preserved. I want it to fall apart. I want there to be a divorce.
Yeah, that's why I'm in the League of the South, and we all should be in there. Even you, Keith, you should be in the League of the South. But
now there it is. Well, Keith, here's where you go to join us. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. League of the South.
That's right. You can join James and Eddie and I as members of the League of the South with a lot of fine patriots. I mean, come on, come up to the plate.
Hey, well, we're going to get to Eddie next, and he's standing by. Eddie the Bobbinator Miller.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a busy night, too busy, in fact. We had two monumental stories, both of which should have and would have otherwise dominated a full three-hour program. The FBI's raid on Trump and the five-year anniversary of Charlottesville. So we couldn't do both for 3 hours tonight. So what we did was the first hour on the Trump raid, we had to cut a couple of guests that we would have had on otherwise. Next week, we'll go back to the Trump raid, but we had to do 2 hours. We had to do 2 hours on Charlottesville, and we've had Jason Kessler. We've had Michael Hill. You just heard from Rich Hamblin. And now, to be our closer, the man who I wanted to be the closer, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, longtime co-host with TPC, now out doing his own thing with Blood River Radio for the last few years. But 5 years ago yesterday, he was our man on the ground in Charlottesville, and that's where I want to go with Eddie to close this whole thing out. Eddie, you look back on it 5 years later. Take us back to where you were 5 years ago yesterday, what you remember, what you thought, what you expected versus what happened, and where you see it now, a half a decade after the event itself.
You know, well, first of all, thank you for having me on tonight, guys. You and Keith, boy, I spent many a year with y'all in the trenches.
Amen.
We had a lot of good experiences. We did. We campaigned together for you, for Austin Farley. It's just been a long. It was a long trip, a very exciting ride. But yeah, you know, You're right. 5 years ago, let's go back to 5 years ago, Friday, I drove up to Cookeville, Tennessee, and I met Rich, who you just had on. I met Gene Andrews, who's one of your – he comes on your show, comes on our show, Simon Roche and Matt Goodwin, and we all rode together. We bonded together. None of us thought we had any idea that it was going to get as wild and crazy and violent as it did. That was my first outing with them. I had never met those gentlemen before in my whole life. Well, I had too, but not. I hadn't known them that long. But yeah, we got to this place called the Compound. I'll tell you a little funny story. We all called it the Compound. We got to this area. It was a beautiful place. I guess probably in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We must have been about a half hour out of Charlottesville. Real cool, beautiful, cool weather, beautiful place. But here's the funny part. We got in there. We had this guy. He was a little light in the loafers, you might say. And he was giving us a tour. And he was telling us, when you're here, you're going to see religious symbols all over the place. But just be respectful. You might see some crosses, Christian crosses. You might see some of these Hindu things. But he said, if you want to go down to the Tranquility Trail, this is a Tranquility Trail, and you can light your incense and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, this guy doesn't know who the hell we are. We had some of the bunch of the roughest looking guys you've ever seen in your life. I mean, looked like they just come, they look like Hell's Angels, some of them. And I'm thinking, who the hell does he think he's talking to? I had to bite my tongue to keep from laughing. But, so that was, like you said, that was on the 11th of August of 2017, when we got in there at night. And There was a lot of tension in the air. I started picking up on something that might have been more than I thought I was getting into. Ike Baker, he was the chief of the intelligence. He was the one that rode into him with some of his crew, rode into Charlottesville the day before, and they did the intel. They went in and looked and gathered intelligence on how many Antifa were there, how many Black Lives Matter people were there. They scoped it out very well, and I knew when he came back that night, he told us, he started telling us about the weapons you could have, handguns are legal, but pig stickers aren't. He said it's a felony to hit somebody in the state of Virginia. Isn't that weird? I'll tell you what, I won't say anything about the weapons that were there. I won't say anything about that. But I knew again the next morning when he was saying, we had to leave. He said, we want you to leave a lot of the vehicles here in the compound. But he said, we want as many people. We want these every vehicle just cram packed. And we want you, butt to butt going in. Like that's what they just say in the Army, make your buddy smile. He said he didn't want any gaps in between the traffic. He didn't want anybody getting lost. But I said, this is getting tough. Because he doesn't want anybody, any stragglers, that way they could get isolated and pounced upon by the enemy, by the Antifa. Well, y'all probably heard this story 100 times, but we got to the parking, finally got to the parking garage. And, Simon was there in the parking garage with us. He couldn't go into Lee Park with us because he did, him being a foreign national, he didn't want to get involved in any of our internal matters. He didn't want to do. But James, if you go to Blood River, look at our website. That photograph of me on Blood River, Simon took that picture. He took that photograph, and it was sacred. That's sacred. Matter of fact, when Jacob Tyler took that photograph home, he said the new improved photograph. I said, what in the hell did you do my photograph? He said, don't you want the new improved one? I said, hell no, I want the one that Simon Rose took. That was sacred.
Well, and then you in the parking garage there as the embedded media with the League of the South with press credentials from Liberty News Radio. I mean, that's the thing, Pappy. That's the thing. I mean, you talk about it now. You look back then. What does it mean to you?
I'll tell you what. It is very special to me.
What do you remember about that night? Let me ask you this, because we only have one segment. It's supposed to be two, and the FBI.
It's live radio. I totally understand.
Yeah, the FBI showed their back ends, but with the Trump raid, What do you remember about that show 5 years ago yesterday? I mean, you were such an integral part, and I want to give full credit where credit is due. The very best show by, you know, very, very possibly, pound for pound and minute for minute, you were on every other segment, alternating segments with people who were there, and we just called them out in the last segment. We had David Duke, Simon Roche, Henrik Palmgren, we had Michael Hill, we had... Yeah, I think we mentioned Duke. But anyway, every other segment you were on with people that were there, what do you remember about that show and that night and broadcasting live that night 5 years ago yesterday here on TPC?
You know, it was so overpowering. I really don't have words to explain it, but I'll do as best I can. I was in what we call the compound. I was in probably the largest room they had. There was a group of about seven different buildings where people had like little barracks buildings. It was this compound was like some people would use for a religious retreat. But I was crammed in where I was where I could do the broadcast. And what impressed me most was the caliber of young people there, James. You know, you all remember how many we got on there. I think I ran eight people through there that night. Now, all of them weren't young. We had Gene Owen, we had Rich Owen. They were the old guys. We had Simon Roach Owen. And Matt, that's the first time I remember meeting Matt up close personal, Matt Goodwin. But the rest of them were just right off the street. I'd never seen them, any of them before. You know what? Get this, people. Some of those people were still coming in. We still had stragglers that hadn't made it in yet. We had a lady on about a week or two ago. Her name was Mary Barlow. She was out until, I think they were out to about 10 or 11 o'clock at night picking up stragglers in this big van. But, yeah, it was raw. I mean, they were coming in minutes from the battlefield that night, and we were getting them on the air, and it was a teamwork. It was totally teamwork. But the bond I made with those people, I just loved them so much. Some of them were younger than my own grandson, and it just infuriated me. I mean, my blood was boiling that these low-down, crappy cops up there who should have known better, and they said, well, they were just doing our job. No, you were working for a bunch of criminals, and they were beating the hell out of some of these people. James, we had two kids in there. One of them was relayed the message, the story over to the cesspool from up there. He was telling about how they were trying to get out of that park area, and one of the cops hit one of this kid, and he hit him in the back. He was on the radio talking to you, James, telling about how the cops hit him in the back with this billy club. And was kicking him and cursing him. That just infuriated me, James. That was so special. Another special thing to me, one of the kids was a religious listener to the Political Cesspool. I think I told y'all that night. And he kept looking at my shirt. You know, I had my Political Cesspool shirt. I wore that same shirt to Rockefeller Center in New York, top of the Empire State Building, top of the Rock and Rockefeller Center. And I wasn't taking anything for that shirt.
I remember
we had him up, and I said, well, he impressed me so much. He was just, I mean, almost adoring the cesspool, you know, giving me far more credit than I needed. And I said, you love this shirt? He said, yeah. He said, I'd love to have one like it. So I just took it off. I took it off right there. And he asked me to autograph it.
Eddie Miller and John Lennon. Honestly, I say that jokingly, but. You know what, Eddie? You felt it. You felt it.
You're the type of guy that would give somebody the shirt off your back.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, literally. But, I mean, your time with TPC and your time now, I mean, you felt this audience. You felt this audience in a couple of different ways. And, you know, that's incredible. To be in an event that monumental and still be able to even think about, you know, a radio program and that you appreciate the work done by a radio program. And, of course, you know, how big of a role you played in the program. You know, I remember those kids coming on that night and being so moved by them and what you did and bringing them on and your role there as the guy that was there representing us and this network. Eddie, it was the best show we ever did, and you were such a big part of it, and I can't thank you enough for that. I want to thank you. As I said to Jason Kessler and Michael Hill in front of God and everybody listening, I want to thank you for what you did that night.
I thank you. It was a part of it. You know what? No matter how long I've been gone 5 years doing my own show, I'll tell you flat out, every time I hear your intro music with the Chief on, you know, with all of your old music.
Oh, yeah.
Once you're a Cespulean, you'll die a Cespulean. It's a brotherhood. People probably can't explain it. Being up there, being a part of the cesspool, being a part of our group, it's just totally incomparable to anything I've ever experienced in my life. And I want to thank you, have me on, thank Keith. God bless y'all. God bless the TPC audience. I love all of y'all.
You know, it all goes back, Eddie, as you know, before TPC ever even was. And it was back during my campaign for the State House when I first met
yes.
you. And it all started there 20 years ago this year, 2002, 2 years before the cesspool started. That's when I met Eddie the Bombardier Miller, even before I met Keith. But for Eddie, for Keith, for Michael Hill, Jason Kessler, and everybody who was a part of tonight's program, Rich Hamblin, I'm James Edwards. Eddie, thank you so much. God bless
you,
brother. We love you. We'll talk to you again soon. Love you, love you, love you. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Good night and Godspeed.